Thank you, Kelly, and good morning, everyone. So I'll refresh a few of these slides in case we had a few new people join us. But sulfoxaflor is a new insecticide chemistry developed by and proprietary to Dow AgroSciences. It has demonstrated control against a broad range of sap-feeding insects, and it should be an excellent fit in IPM programs based upon its spectrum and properties. So detailed here is the structure for sulfoxaflor, which is within the new sulfoxamine insecticide class. Sulfoxaflor demonstrates good formulation flexibility with a 50 WDG being targeted for U.S. cotton. Anticipated use rates per application range from 3/4 ounce to 1.5 ounces products per acre, with aphids being controlled at the lower end and plant bugs in the upper end. And as Jamie mentioned before, on an official label, there will be some flexibility to use rates higher than this 0.045 pound active rate. So in cotton, key insect targets for sulfoxaflor will include cotton aphid, plant bugs, and whiteflies, with the focus of my presentation this morning being of the Liguus linearis plant bug. Research thus far has not demonstrated any activity against lepidopteran or coleopteran pest, nor beneficial arthropods. So for the studies I'll be presenting today, the objective was to determine the effectiveness of sulfoxaflor insecticide against tarnished plant bug in mid-southern United States cotton. And three areas in which we desired specific information to were in regards to initial knockdown activity, residual control, and yield protection. These studies were conducted across 2 years, 32 trials in 10 locations, represented in Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Tennessee. And these studies were conducted by both public and private researchers within those states. The methodology across locations was similar. Plots were 4 to 8 rows wide by 40 to 50 feet in length, and treatments were replicated 4 times within each trial. The treatments were applied to large flowering cotton at an application volume of 8 to 10 gallons per acre. In terms of sampling within the season, we sampled plant bug nymphs using a dark 5-foot shake sheet, and yield was obtained by mechanically picking the center 2 rows within each plot. So the following sulfoxaflor and standard treatments were evaluated. It included sulfoxaflor at 0.022, 0.045, and 0.068 pounds active per acre. And this was compared to acephate at 1 pound. And this acephate rate was included in every single trial. Also thimethoxam, indigo, and then untreated plots. These treatments were either applied once in a trial or twice at a 3 to 7 day interval. And within all the trials, we managed lepidopteran pests with either transgenic or chemical control technologies that did not have any activity against Liguus. So each of the 32 trials that we summarized were categorized by level of pressure, and we did this using an area under the assessment progress curve transformation. So in this transformation, what you do is calculate the area beneath a plotted treatment line such that a treatment with more insects would have a higher area. That area is then divided by the number of days within your sampling period, resulting in an insect number on a per-day basis. So for our trials, if they had an area under the assessment progress curve average of less than or equal to 9, they were considered low pressure, and greater than 9, they were considered high pressure. That count data was summarized across trials within a level of pressure and then within each of these 3 evaluation intervals. The 2 to 5 day evaluation provided us information on that initial knockdown activity, with the days beyond that information on residual control. And I'll also be presenting results for a single trial as well. And that data was subjective to analysis variance, mean separated using Tukey's at an alpha level of 10%. So now to move into the results of these studies, beginning here at this single trial analysis. And this was for a trial conducted in Greenville, Mississippi, that did sustain high plant bug populations. I'll take a moment just to set up this chart, as many of the slides, subsequent slides, are going to look very similar. So along the x-axis, I have my evaluation interval as days after application 1 or application 2. Along the y-axis is the plant bug nymph densities per 5 row feet. And I have a line at the number 3 designating the action threshold for plant bugs. And throughout the trial, my sulfoxaflor treatments are designated as green, yellow, and blue in order of increasing rate. So in this particular trial, we see non-treated populations are well in excess of threshold, about 2 to 3x threshold, climbing to about 5x by that last sampling date. If you look at the first two evaluations, 3 and 6 days after treatment, there were no significant differences among sulfoxaflor and standard treatments. However, if you key into that six-day residual time period, we do see numerical advantages with those two highest rates of sulfoxaflor, 0.045 pounds active and greater, to reduce those densities relative to that action threshold. So that second application was applied, and again, we saw similar results in terms of knockdown and residual activity. But then if you move on out to 11 days after treatment two, that's where when we get some treatment separation. Again, we're going to see this trend throughout the data that this highest rate, the mid rate of sulfoxaflor, 0.045 and greater, is separating itself out from the other treatments. Again, reducing those populations relative to the action threshold, equal to or better than acephate, but superior in this case to two applications of indigo. Notice that lowest rate of sulfoxaflor, while it did provide nice initial knockdown activity, it's not providing that consistent residual control. So in this particular situation, in high pressure situation and using two applications, we have results that indicate sulfoxaflor to be a very good option for managing plant bugs. So now moving to the cross-trial summaries, beginning here with the lower pressure trials. And when I say they're lower relative to the high pressure trials, but each trial still exceeded an action threshold on at least one date. So if you look at all the data across these three evaluations, and again, these non-treated populations are in excess of threshold, they did decline to right at threshold at the third evaluation. But overall, against on the three evaluations, again, we're seeing this consistent trend of the two highest rates of sulfoxaflor, 0.045 pounds and greater, to provide the most consistent control, that being initial and residual control. Those rates are also equal to or better than that of the standards, acephate and Centric, and also keeping those populations lower than that action threshold. So in a low-pressure situation, we've been able to see here that across these 13 trials, with one application, you know, seeing some nice residual activity, upwards of 9 days across these trials. So we did continue to sample and key into the last date highlighted in red. So that's 15 days after treatment one. You do now begin to see the treatments break. This is regardless of rate or insecticide. So at this point, each of these treatments did require reapplication. And so this slide now reflects those two applications now being required. Again, at the 2 to 5 days after application two, we're seeing nice initial control. You move further on out at 6 to 8 days after application two, there's nice numerical rate response among those sulfoxaflor treatments. Again, keeping those populations below that action threshold. And again, you know, as this population is growing, now 3x threshold, same trend, the mid rate of sulfoxaflor, 0.045 pounds and greater, is providing this most consistent control, reducing those populations relative to the action threshold, equal to or better than acephate, but now in this case, of course, superior to two applications of Centric. So now moving to the high-pressure trials, and the way I'm going to present these is going to be very similar. Non-treated densities in these two evaluation dates are approximately 4x threshold. When you look at all the different treatments, they did reduce populations relative to those non-treated plots, you know, greater than 50%. But none of them consistently brought those populations down relative to that action threshold. So in this situation, each of these treatments required retreatment. And this is in contrast to what we showed for those low-pressure trials where that second application was not immediately required. So now this data now reflects the two applications having been applied. Similar to those low-pressure situations, again, nice initial control among those sulfoxaflor and standard treatments. Moving out to 6 to 8 days after application two, we begin to see treatment separation among those sulfoxaflor treatments. Again, the two highest rates below the action threshold and similar to acephate. Moving further on out to 9 to 12 days after application two, we see the now just the highest rate of sulfoxaflor, 0.068 pounds, still being lower than that action threshold, equal to or better than acephate, but now superior to that of two applications of Centric, which has now exceeded threshold. And then even further out, 13 to 15 days after application two, still that highest rate of sulfoxaflor, 0.068, is really hanging in there, lower than the action threshold, whereas plots treated with acephate have now greatly exceeded threshold. And by the time we got this far out, there were no trials that had sampled, had Centric included in those trials. So we have no data for Centric at that time point. So I think I've been able to show here on these high-pressure situations that there may be circumstances in which two applications of sulfoxaflor may actually be required in order to see the most consistent initial knockdown and residual control. Now, based upon all the low and high-pressure summary across trials that I've shown, I think we've also been able to see consistently that we should key in on this 0.045-pound active rate as being the minimum rate to provide the most robust control in terms of initial and residual control. It's also the same rate that is most similar to acephate, which most would consider the best single standalone treatment standard that's used today. So this chart now compares or plots cumulative densities through time for those 19 high-pressure trials and keying in on that 0.045-pound active rate of sulfoxaflor and 1 pound of acephate. Again, these treatment progress lines are similar for one application with two applications improving performance across those trials. So with all the data I've shown thus far, we've been able to show that sulfoxaflor provides very good in-season control of plant bugs. The following yield data also provides confirmation for that control that we've observed. If you look at the 0.045 pounds active and greater, it's equal to or better than acephate. The overall lower yields in 2009 are attributed to the wet weather that we sustained regionally. So in summary, I think we have a very robust data set at our hands that have allowed us to characterize sulfoxaflor as a tool for the management of plant bugs in mid-southern United States cotton. This is based on 2 years of data across 32 trials in 10 locations. The product, sulfoxaflor, was subjected to a diverse environmental conditions and a range of plant bug infestation levels. In addition, we had these yield measurements to both complement and confirm the in-season insect control that we've observed. So again, based upon our results, I think we can key in on sulfoxaflor at 1.5 ounces products per acre to be the minimum rate providing the most robust control, leading to knockdown within 5 days and residual for greater than or equal to 7 days. Now, the performance of sulfoxaflor is going to be dependent upon insect pressure such that two applications may be required to get the most consistent initial and residual control. In addition to insect control, we've been able to show that it will protect cotton lint yields. And then finally, based upon all the data we have at our hands, it certainly shows that sulfoxaflor is going to be equal to or better than the current single treatment standalone treatments that are currently being used. So in conclusion, again, Dow AgroSciences, sulfoxaflor insecticide will have an excellent fit in cotton IPM programs based upon its spectrum and properties. And it's anticipated this product will be available and launched in 2012 for U.S. cotton.
Right on time. We don't have time for questions right now, but during the break, I'm sure that Melissa will be available for questions. We'll go ahead and get the next presentation brought up.